So, praise the Lord. I'm excited about this just because I think it's going to be really awesome to, because it takes us through the Old and the New Testament and kind of throughout the year, which I think is wonderful. And it's just going to really give us some opportunities for discussion because we'll be reading along the same passages. I'm sure some of the messages that we'll be preaching will be coming out of the reading as well. So anyway, I just think it's an awesome opportunity. And I encourage you, as with always with your Bible reading, take the time and say to God, God, this is your word. I don't want to just check a box so that I can say I did my spiritual duty and I read the Bible. I want to hear from you. Reveal yourself to me as I read this. Show me things that you want me to see and ways that you want to challenge me and things that ways that I can grow. And God will do that as we read his word. 2020 vision. Rick was felt that would be the theme, especially for this month and then throughout this year, the vision that God's put on our heart. But he said, is that cliche? Like, I feel like everybody's going to be saying that 2020 vision. I said, it doesn't matter. Like, it works. You know, I mean, we're never going to have 2020 again. This is the only year that'll be 2020. And so 2020 vision, the best way, though, to have his vision is to be focused on him. What we are focused on will determine the course of our life. It will determine our level of success and happiness. It will determine our fulfillment and many other things based on what we're focused on. And so will you put the first slide up, Jacob? This comes from an old song. I didn't realize, because I heard it when Newsboys did it a long time ago. I didn't realize that it was a hymn before that. And so it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When we begin to focus on Jesus, our perspective changes. A verse that actually is not in my notes, but I want us to go to, and we're going to start with this because it came to my mind during worship. That's why if you saw me on my phone, if I'm on my phone, I was on my Bible, I'm looking up this verse because it came to my mind and I didn't know where it was. And so it's in Psalm 123. So we're going to read Psalm 123. And so if you'll stand as we read, we're going to read verses 1 through 2. It says, unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. You can be seated. That is the theme of tonight's message. A lot of you have heard me say, look at Jesus. If you find that you are stressed out, typically I have found with myself, if I am stressed, it is usually because I am looking at myself, I'm looking at circumstances, or I'm looking at people. And usually when I recognize that, I have to reposition my eyesight on the one who is faithful and able and all of those things. But if you put up the second slide, have you ever noticed that when you focus, this is photography and that this is very big in photography and you can look it up and they'll show you how to do it, how you make one thing look, you know, very clear and everything else focused. But that comes from reality. If I look at this monitor, all of you become blurry and hazy because my focus is on this thing. And so that's why what we're focusing on is such a big deal in our life and what we spend our time and our mindset thinking about. If we're focused on other things or other people, or even if we're turned inward, what happens is God and his presence and power gets blurred in the background. And how many of you know God never deserves or needs to be in the background? He always should be in the forefront. He should always be the one that we're focused on. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't do anything else. Of course, we go to work. We go, you know, we do our things at home. But if we will focus on him, he will lead us what to bring. And he brings into the frame where he is. And so we can be focused on him and also be doing what we need to be doing. And so if you do the next slide, when life gets blurry, adjust your focus. Focus on who you need to be focused on, because it really does make a difference. I was praying this today, Lord, help me to do things your way in your timing. That's a good prayer to pray, because when I get focused on trying to do things my way and my timing, generally I get frustrated because my timing and my way doesn't always line up with His way. And I have committed my life to Him, and God in His mercy, many times when we're praying prayers that are against His will, that are not in His plan or in His timing for us, He will not answer those prayers. In His great mercy, we see that mercy when we look back and we go, oh God, thank you for not answering that prayer that I asked you, you know, 12 times to answer, because He knows what we need. But that is often a source of great frustration. And we're going to talk about that at the end of the message, about what happens when you're looking at Him and you're frustrated because what He's asking is not coming in line with what you're wanting or what He's asking you to do. But as I said, when I'm looking at myself, when I start to look inward and I start to focus on God, I blew it. Now, listen, there is nothing wrong with being honest with ourselves. God, when we miss it, we need to be honest. We need to repent. We need to say, God, I blew this here. I need to fix this. But then we need to refocus our attention on Him. And so our peace comes from our attention being looking at Him. Rick and I have discovered that even as a married couple, we'll celebrate 25 years in 2020. Woo woo. That's a very big deal. But we went through a time where we were already both struggling. And we both remember that time it was like we just couldn't connect. We were frustrated with each other and we were just having a really hard time. And after about a week of that, I still remember, you know, those times that just stand out in your memory. We were in the car, the little green car. So that was before we had the van or the truck. That was when we were sharing the green car, and we're driving to Jacksonville in the little green car. And we just had this discussion, and both of us had come to the same conclusion during that week that you cannot fulfill me. Like, I love you. I think you're great. I'm glad to be married to you. Most of the time. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm always glad to be married to Him. But, you know, you have those moments in marriage where you're just frustrated with the person. And then you realize they cannot fulfill you. And we both had come to that same conclusion. I love you, but you cannot be my everything. And that is an important thing consistently, that we come to that conclusion that God and only God can fulfill us. He can be our ultimate one who fulfills us. Everybody else is in addition to that. And so He needs to stay our focus. Hebrews 12:2. I have quoted this verse to myself, to other people many times in the last few years. But we're going to read Hebrews 12:2-3. Looking unto Jesus. See, that's the focus of tonight. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who started the work. Philippians 1 says, He who began a good work in you will complete it. He is the author and He is the finisher. I love that these two words are in the same sentence when it's talking about looking to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And Wednesday nights, we've been going through the red letters in the book of Matthew and through some of the other gospels. And we're starting to cover the time of the crucifixion. And that we need to recognize what Jesus did. We need to realize when we start to get frustrated with our life and think maybe how bad we have it or how much we have to go through, we need to remember what Jesus went through for us. This says to consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We need to remember what He did, what He went through, how much He loves us, how much He accomplished for us, and keep our focus on that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, I didn't come with great wisdom, but in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. We need to keep that at the forefront of our minds. Looking unto Jesus, though, if you put up slide number 4, this word looking in Thayer's dictionary, which is a Greek dictionary, that word looking means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something. That's what we have to continually do in our Christian life. I'm telling you, the Lord taught me this a few years ago, and I live in it a lot. That God says, he just reminds me, what are you looking at, Shannon? Look at me, looking unto Jesus. In Strong's Dictionary, this word means to consider attentively. Now, a lot of you have seen me carry Eden in the baby carrier. She loves that thing. I was never really a baby wearer until Eden. That's the term for it, just in case you didn't know that. So I was not. I got one with Jude, because those of you that remember Sarah Whitaker, she carried that baby Jean all over the place in her baby carrier. And I was like, that is cool. I need me one of those. And so I bought one with Jude, but I really didn't use it that much. But Eden loves it. Anytime we go somewhere far, I put her in the baby carrier. She's very happy. But one thing that is the neatest thing is, so she's sitting in this carrier and she will just look up at me. It's the cutest thing. Like, I've tried to take a picture, but it's so close that it's like, you know, it's not a very good picture. But she will just like she has all the time in the world, and she'll just stare at my face and smile at me. This is what we need to do to God, because he's the one that carries us. And we need to just gaze at him, understanding that he is the most important one in our lives. And when we do it, we don't need to be like, okay, I got, you know, God, I'm going to work you in to an hour here, or to, you know, a few minutes here in my schedule. We need to take some time with the Lord, whether it's in worship, in your times of worship at home, and just gaze at him, say, God, I'm just here to be with you. I just want to focus on you, because if it matters to me, and I think, wow, how much does it matter to our Father who created us? We need to understand that, and we need to spend some time focusing on him. I have to remind myself often, all of these other things are less important. Listen, I would love for my house to be clean all the time, but I keep realizing that it doesn't work. Like, as long as people live in it, they make messes. And I tried this weekend, like, we were gone and we came back and we had to unpack. And in addition to everything else, I mean, my house was just a wreck for like a week. And I tried, and I spent all this time Friday night and yesterday cleaning. And you know what? By Saturday afternoon, it was a mess all over again. And I just thought, you know why? Because people live there, and we make messes while we're living there. We dirty dishes, and Jude dumps his thing of toys out. And, you know, I mean, it's, but I keep having to realize I have to focus on what's important, because we can spend our life cleaning up little messes that don't matter. And we can say to God, God, my life is so busy. I'm trying. And God is like, that mess didn't matter. I would have handled that later, or that mess. Learn to focus on him and let him help you prioritize what matters, because we can spend so much time doing and saying and fixing things that God was going to fix. If we would have just taken the time and focused on him, he could have handled it for us. Or we could have realized, like Sam told me, I figured they're just going to keep making messes. I'm like, I need to learn from her. You know, I mean, because sometimes we spend all of this time again, and it might not with you, if you don't have toddlers, it might not be, you know, toddlers, but we spend so many times micromanaging things that God is like, if you would hand that to me, you didn't need to spend an hour figuring out what you were going to say, because I was going to handle it anyway. And you just wasted an hour focusing on that situation. Focus on him. It's never time wasted. Never. He is always able to save us. Sometimes he's just waiting for us to pay attention to what he's trying to reveal to us. Isaiah 45:22 says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. A great way. Do you have that next video? You don't have another video? Is a Bible Jingles video? If he doesn't, it's my fault, because I told Joe that it was kind of last minute that I was sending it to him. Huh? Okay, sing it for us, Luke. No? He's like, no, I don't want to. and be saved. Yeah, 45:22. Okay, that's just in case you're not well versed in Bible jingles. It is on YouTube now, and you can learn these verses. But that's honestly what came to mind when this scripture was coming, is that Bible jingles. Notice though, this verse, when you look at it, if you get it, you can play it, Joe. If not, it's okay. But notice how there's quotation marks. That's because God said this through Isaiah in first person. He said, "Look unto me and be saved, all you ends of the earth." That includes us. So we need to look to him and let him save us in the situations that we're facing. So, when we need salvation, we need to look to him. When we're stressed, when we're tempted, when we're confused, when we need wisdom, when we need finances, when we need direction, we need to look to him and let him save us. Okay. Psalm 25:15 says, "My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." He is the one that we can look to and find help and find wisdom and find strength in the midst of temptation. Okay, we can go ahead and move on to Psalm 34:5. It says, "They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed." That word radiant, it means to sparkle. Isn't that cool? Like in the Strong's, it means to sparkle. It means to be cheerful. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The verse before that says, "I sought the Lord." Verse 4 says, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." And then the verse right after that is, "They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed." So in the midst of fear, what do we need to do? Mull it over and figure out the situation and, you know, talk to 100 other people about the problem. No, we need to look to him. Now, there's a time to go. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to learn to look to him and let him lead us and let him cause our faces to be radiant and seek him and be delivered from our fears. We need to focus on him so that we can become like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." I've said this before, but I just want to say it in case you didn't remember it or, you know, need to hear it again. When the Lord started teaching me about looking at him, I like to analyze things. My mom just shakes her head at me because I'm so analytical sometimes. And she just goes, "You just analyze everything to the nth degree." But I like to do that, like by my nature. And God, there's times when God just tells me, "No, Shannon, don't do that. We don't need to do that." And I'm like, "God, but how? How am I going to fix this? Or how are you going to fix me or fix this or fix whatever it is by looking at you?" And the Lord gave me this verse. By looking at him, I am transformed into his image. Being transformed into his image is always a good answer. It's always a good thing. And I am better in every sense of the word if I look more like Jesus. And so focusing on him and being transformed into his image, because that word says transformed into the same image, that's a good thing. So I want to end by talking about the times when I am looking at him and I'm frustrated because of what he's asking me to do or what he's asking me not to do. Because doing what he asks when it's not what my flesh wants can cause frustration. How many of you have ever obeyed God, but you did not have the best attitude about it? Like, "God, I am obeying you because I know that I'm supposed to, but I'm not happy about it. Like, I'm kind of dragging my flesh along here, not understanding and a little frustrated with the situation." Sometimes that's okay, because the Bible says, "Mortify your members, kill the fleshly members." The flesh does not like to die, and it very often protests in the process. So that's okay. You know, many times it's not pleasant when the flesh has to die, and when our will crosses his will, usually there is some frustration on our part involved, and that's okay. But what's important at these times is to keep in mind who he is, because it's very easy in those moments to begin to let the circumstances define God and to begin to take our circumstances and what we see and then project that onto who God is. Like, rather than saying, God, I know that you are good, we look at the circumstances and we think, God, I thought you were good, but now I'm not so sure. Because I thought that you were going to answer my prayer and you haven't. I thought that you were going to intervene in this situation and you haven't. And so we can begin to project those circumstances onto who God is. And that's not what we need to do. What we need to do instead is remember who God is and say to God, God, I know that you are good and I refuse to let this circumstance define who you are. Because who you are is not defined by what I think or what the circumstance says or what somebody else thinks. The Lord taught me that fasting often is like waxing the car. In the moment, if sometimes even we don't even do it with the right attitude, like we do it like Daniel, okay, like we're supposed to fast and I really want to eat this, you know, cookie that's in front of me, but I can't because I'm fasting, you know, I mean, and sometimes we, well, listen, one thing that I have learned, whenever God, and fasting is throughout the Bible, like it's not something that's just in the Old Testament or just in the New Testament. It's Jesus said, when you fast. So he assumed that people were fasting and that they would fast. And then he gave them instructions how to do it. And so when we go into this, I just want to challenge you, whether it's the fast that that's coming up next Sunday through the following week, or it's reading your Bible, it's the things that God is asking you to do. If you will recognize that doing those things, God is teaching you muscle memory. See, what happened with Daniel is doing that all day long. Now, if he had done it a few times, number one, he wouldn't have had any muscle memory to be able to do at the end, to where his hands knew what to do. That's a real thing. I'm just telling you, that's how one of the ways that I can play without looking and my fingers just know where to go is from hours that my parents made me practice. Honestly, I mean, it's like my fingers know where to go. Then what happened, I promise you, is when I was in college, I presented that I would just go into the piano rooms and I would just worship and I would just play and my hands would just, you know, play the keyboard. And so when God tells us to do things and when we learn these disciplines that God is working in our lives, what happens is muscle memory is when a movement is repeated over time, a long-term muscle memory is created for that task, eventually allowing it to be performed with little to no conscious effort. And so when we allow God to work these disciplines in our lives, then what happens is God is strengthening muscles that we can't even see. See, when Daniel was waxing the car, he didn't realize he was going to need that muscle, the muscle that was so sore where he couldn't move his arm. He was going to need that muscle to be able to fight. God knows that we need spiritual muscle to be able to fight. And so he strengthens our faith by telling us, hey, turn off the TV and get into the Word. Or don't go out tonight and focus on other things. Come and spend some time with me. And when we do that, he is working those spiritual muscles in us. When he makes us wait, when what seems like way too long, and God, I have been here working and there is no reward and it seems like, you know, it's not even accomplishing anything. And God is working those spiritual muscles so that the next fight, we're able to fight. And all of a sudden we're like, I didn't even know that that was in me. Like, God, I didn't even know that you were working things in me. But he is always working. And I love how Mr. Miyagi is like, always look eyes. Sometimes God is saying that to us. He's like, hey, look at me. Don't look at it waxing the floor. Look at me. Look at what I'm accomplishing in your life and believe, because that encounter changed Daniel's perspective of Mr. Miyagi. I mean, I think he was pretty excited about Mr. Miyagi the first time he saw him fight. But then Mr. Miyagi had him do all these chores and his perception changed. Now, this guy is just a jerk that wants me to work for him. And we need to be careful that we remember who God is in the times when God is teaching us and working things in us and training us. There's always a reason. There's always a plan. There's always a purpose. We just got to keep our eyes on the one who is training us, recognizing that he is doing it for a reason. And he always rewards us in the end. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Our soul prospering is the most important thing. And God cares more about our character than our comfort. And that's why sometimes he says, "Hey, give up that food that you love. Give up that whatever it is that you like and focus on me," so that he can work those things in us so that we're prepared for the battle that he knows is coming. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you have already accomplished in us and the things that you have done, even in the service tonight. You are so good. And we know that the time that we spend with you and the times that we have spent waiting and seeking your face, the prayers that have been prayed, God, you have heard them and you are doing a work in us. And we just invite you to continue it. Train us so that we could hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.